To have a good harvest, one must plant good seeds and must also use the right kind of fertilizer. The carrots have grown large and firm. How good they will taste.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Backyard Gardens Podcast, where we talk about all things gardening, right? It is getting close to spring being over, at least the spring growing season. And I mean, we just got to talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a really good opportunity to acknowledge the calendar spring and the spring growing season. And there's a little overlap of the two, it feels like. So I think that's a good lead into this episode.
Yeah. And I mean, as you finish it out, we're going to manage our harvests. We are going to, you know, there's, cause there's, it's not just as simple as grow it, cut it, eat it. It's, you know, it can get more in depth than that. And I think it should get more in depth. I think it's a healthy conversation to have. But before we get started on that subject, I do want to let everybody know that you should definitely check out our seed shop below. It's people are buying seeds, which is great. So we are moving closer to our goal of expanding our shop. Everything is direct sellable, and not only for spring, but also summer. So please check it out below. And in celebration of us hitting 1 million downloads, it is officially official. The code is active. 1 million. Any way you want to put it, with no spaces, numbers, or letters, you will get 10% off your order and a free packet of seeds. Thank you guys so much. And thank you if you want to become a subscriber or you are one. There you go. Boom. Done. Ha ha. Very fast.
This is one of those, like, it sounds good. I couldn't do this without you. Like, literally, we couldn't do this without y'all. You know, 1 million. You don't get there. You know, I mean, I listened to some episodes, you know, after we released
them.
Dude,
I know like five people.
Not nearly that many.
I know like
times.
Five people personally. I have no chance of hitting a million people in my normal life, right? I mean, what gardener, seriously, I'm going to take a second to say this. What gardener do you know that is just like the social butterfly and is everywhere? Like a lot of us are, we stay home and we work in our yards and our gardens and we keep to ourselves, which is good. Good for you guys. But 1 million people. That's amazing. You guys are awesome. Ding, ding, ding. So that being said, let's go ahead and get into this. I'm trying to think on where to start, to be honest, because there's so many ways to manage the harvest. And I mean, the obvious one is obviously you grow enough, you cook it and you eat it and you move on. But closing out the season, things are starting to get a little weird probably for some people. Mm-hmm. Some people, you still got time. So that's perfect too.
Yeah, this is kind of learned from my missteps, because I'm probably like 4 years into spring gardening and maybe 2 or 3 years into really spring gardening in earnest. Maybe it's more like 5 years. But anyway, I have a tendency to kind of wait until it gets to its full maturity, you know, wait until I can do something with it. And spring is always hard for me because some of these vegetables ain't having it. So you're better off, you know, getting quite literally in and out, you know, when it comes to these vegetables. So it's a lot more small batch cooking, small batch preserving. You know, this is probably outside of like the very early parts of your summer harvest. This is like, you know, take it as you get it. I see you do this all the time when it comes to your garden basket.
Who, me? Oh yeah, there is no shame in my game, dude. I am not here for the trophies. When I was in my previous career as a marine biologist, I went out with two different types of fishermen. We'd go out and we would just get weight, and then they'd go out and they'd get trophies. The people with the weight, they were happier all the time. They got what they wanted. They moved. They didn't care how big it was. And that's how I sit. Man, I mean, look, I sat here and told all you people last year about my doorknob cabbages and let Batavia make publicly shame me for it. And I don't care. I was eating it. We laughed together, though. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I made fun of you in public, but I wouldn't say shame.
I was ashamed for about 30 seconds, and that changed my mind. But, I mean, you've got to be realistic. And you hit on something very important right off the bat, and that was the preserving aspect. And I don't know if a lot of people keep in mind what can be preserved for spring. That's a, you know, summer is kind of a no-brainer, but spring mm-hmm. is an interesting one, you know. So I want to take a couple minutes and just talk about the preserving aspect of it, because there's a lot that can be and there's a lot that shouldn't be preserved. I didn't say can't be. I said shouldn't be.
Yeah. I think that there's so much greenery in spring vegetables. And I don't know that we always think about those veggies as ones that, you know, are top tier preservation. Yeah. I think that we think about a lot of like in the now eating for those.
I've got a couple that are top tier preservation.
I do too, you do? I'm just saying I don't think, good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I struggled with in the beginning was like carrots. Carrots was a tough one. I would get a lot of them and I would eat them and eat them and eat them. I'm like, man, I'm going to turn orange, because, you know, you can turn orange from eating too many carrots. So they say. But I started canning them and they were amazing canned. That's like a big part of what we do with our carrots now. So we've graduated into that super easy to can. But a lot of people don't like to can either, so freezing is always an option too.
Yeah, I would think that, well, I'm going to start at the beginning for me, and it's not technically preservation, but it's a level of food storage. You know, carrots keep so well in the refrigerator and the crisper.
How dare you take my next point?
I mean, if you would have started at the beginning, you could have had the point. No, but I mean, they hang out. And I think that, keep in mind, you're pulling out the freshest carrot you'll ever have from your garden. It's going to be fresher than anything you're going to buy at the store. Hard stop. Right. You know, so the starting point for that carrot, you're on like day one when it comes to it's been harvested. Now, what do you do with it?
Can I ask you a question? What's the longest a carrot that you've grown has sat in your refrigerator before you ate it?
Instead of answering in time, I'll just answer in the number of hairs that had grown on the carrot. I'd say for sure 2 months.
Oh, we got you beat. 3 months. It was getting a little hairy. Ah, you like that. But I mean, you know, 3 months. 3 months. It didn't do anything.
It's wild.
We pulled it out of the garden, stuck it in the fridge. You know, so last year we did that, and my son, God bless his soul, he ate carrots all the time. I just get tired of them, but we started canning them, and it worked out good. But you're exactly right. If you look at what you grow in the spring versus what you grow in the summer, they store, not as a whole, but there are crops that store for a very long time, which you should definitely take advantage of. And that affects the planting portion of my garden. Mm-hmm. You know, people ask me, why do you plant 30 cabbages? Well, because I know the cabbage is going to stay good in my fridge for up to a month, you know? So I have that time.
Yeah, and I think that it's easing into the garden season as well, because you have a lot more time to manage the things that you're going to be pulling out of the garden. So, you know, it's not like a tomato is dying, you know, on your windowsill, you know, with every morning's cup of coffee. You know, it's not that kind of experience. But I'm going to add one more for carrots. And I canned store-bought carrots. Mistake.
Yeah.
I canned baby store-bought carrots, baby carrots from the store. Terrible. So I still haven't canned my own homegrown. We'll see how that turns out, hopefully this season. But quick pickles, I'm not going to cheat. I'm just going to say quick pickles. No, I'm going to go ahead and cheat. Quick pickles or fermenting for carrots.
Fermenting? I've never fermented a carrot.
I haven't either, but I have a book that's 10 feet away from me for fermenting.
Okay, so we're going to do that.
But quick pickles are a good example of, I mean, as many salads as I eat this time of year, I throw on a half a cup of carrots, you know, 3/4 of a cup of carrots, and you don't think twice about it because it's mixed in with everything else. It's a great way to consume those things. And you've done the work when you actually put them in the jar with whatever your concoction is.
Interesting. Very interesting. Because I've looked at, you know, when you go on to the line of ferment. And, you know, I'm going to say this. Fermenting is an acquired taste. It's an act of bravery to do it. I mean, you know, the first time you do it, it's a little nerve wracking. You're having a science project. You know, we are famous. I say famous. We're famous in our house amongst ourselves for making, you know, a jar of sauerkraut a year. Not a jar, but like a batch of sauerkraut where we get like between 4 and 6 jars of sauerkraut out of it. So, yeah, fermenting is definitely an option. Also, freezing is a huge option, too. Huge option.
For carrots.
For everything. Well, not everything, but for a lot. Yeah, I'm not just talking about carrots. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm talking about just spring in general. You know, and if you question what you can freeze, just go in the grocery store and buy some frozen vegetables. You'll see it, you know. It's peas. Yep. And one thing I have froze that I didn't like was snow peas. Nope. Never do that again.
It was funky,
boy.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, there definitely is a little bit of trial and error with some of those vegetables I guess with any of these preservation methods, besides putting it in the crisper, because its texture is a lot of what turns us off when we pull something out of the freezer, you know? So if you're blanching the peas, there's a science that these food processors have gotten it down. That's the reason why you can buy them from the store and they still taste good, right? You know, so it's the fine tuning that, and that's the reason why I'm fully supportive of keep on trying it, you know, because some of these vegetables you only get once, maybe twice a year to give it a try, meaning like the time period of the year for the growing season. So, you know, you think you don't like it, but maybe try 2 or 3 different batches of it, you know, and tweak it as you go along.
Yeah, and I mean, in small batches, too. Don't jump in crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and this is something, too, like, if you're not preserving now, which I have a good feeling that a lot of our listeners are preserving to some extent. I would suggest, like, just thinking about, like, hey, what am I growing? What do I get a lot of? I know a lot of us like to give away our produce, but this... And I've said this before, this caused me to keep a lot of my produce, but enjoy it a lot longer. And that's okay. Don't feel bad that you're not giving away your produce, because you put in the time and effort, you put in the work. And, you know, you may like with my carrots, I never would have thought that I enjoyed preserving carrots. I did it as a whim. We canned 2 cans. It took us a year before I got the nerve up to eat them. And then I ate them and I was like, okay. And then the next year we did like 12 jars, you know. And the thing is it's always available to us. You know, my son, like I said, God bless his soul. He can eat all the carrots he wants, but then we get them made in different ways for recipes, stuff like that. As far as like cost effectiveness goes for that, I don't know if it's really cost effective, because you can buy a can of carrots for 50 cents. But still, it's our carrots, and it's a good reminder of like, hey, I grew this and we're eating something off of our plate in the middle of winter when nothing's growing.
Yeah. I did a lot of soups, canned a lot of soups last year.
Where, I want to do
you
that.
You know, I had things.
I do. Yeah.
I would never guess.
You don't know this about me?
I mean, I know you love soups. I know that that's a thing that you all eat.
But you
a
know
lot
that
of,
I'm the master soup chef. I mean, I'm not joking.
Yeah, I was just about to describe you exactly like that. Give me a chance. So some of the soups that I can, I did like. And I know that you decide when and when not to eat meat, but there are some vegetarian versions of it as well. So like a chicken soup, you know, I did a really good Italian soup, Italian beef soup. But in all of these soups, the vegetables included things like carrots, things like onions, things like, you know, potatoes, right? You know, so last year, which... we're kind of skipping ahead. You're planting them in spring and you're harvesting them like right at the tail end of spring for you and your potatoes. I'm harvesting a little bit later, but I didn't harvest any straight potatoes last year. Every potato that I I didn't preserve any straight potatoes last year like I did the year before. Like, here's a jar of potatoes. All the potatoes I preserved went into some recipe that I preserved. If that makes sense.
And that's something that I think is definitely by me overlooked a lot, is preserving stuff like that, because you're incorporating everything into it, you know, especially a soup. That's why we like soup so much, because you can just put whatever you want in it, especially cabbage.
And soups give you a lot of grace.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm the master soup chef, because there's, you know, you can screw it up and add a little bit more salt and it's delicious. So, you know, as far as preserving goes, though, like, don't sleep on that. And I would strongly, like, we've got in our Amazon store, I think we've got in there some preserving books and stuff like that. And those are the ones that we use. I mean, we sit here and talk about preserving. It's not like we have some secret recipe or anything like that. We've developed a couple over the years, but most of it comes out of the books. And I literally will take the book, look at it and say, okay, like, my wife every week says, what do you have coming out of the garden? And especially with carrots, it's like, get ready, because they're coming. And when they come out, we've got to make a plan, and then we start to make that plan. So as we do that and we move forward, we can do more and more and add it into our repertoire of what we're doing and stay on top of it. Because preserving is not your only option, but it is a great option for managing your harvest. You know, we've touched on giving it away, and I don't think there's really much more to say about that.
Actually, I want to comment on being okay with not giving it away. That's an important part of my garden experience, but there's also a certain level of pressure around that. But more specifically to kind of the end result of your harvest. So there are some things that we're testing out when it comes to, you know, the thing we're growing. Do we like snow peas frozen? Right. You got to have enough to actually get in the freezer for you to figure that bit out. Right. So a part of what you're harvesting from the garden and how you use it in your family, that helps influence your planning for your future gardens. Right. How much or how little you're going to grow of a particular thing. So just be conscious of the balance of, if you're giving so much of a particular crop away, you may not have a good opportunity to really give it a go to determine how important that thing is to you.
Yeah, it does make sense. And I think too, because a lot of people don't preserve in the beginning, it is a given to give it away, and then it becomes associated with guilt not to. And I don't think that's a healthy way to look at it. I mean, it's your food. You grew it. If you want to give somebody the gift, you can feed them, or you can teach them to feed themselves. And, you know, a lot of times what I'll do is someone will be like, hey, give me some tomatoes. I'm like, no, but I'll give you a plant. You grow your own damn tomato. You know, here's a 5-gallon bucket and some dirt. Get going.
The only exception to the think about, you know, how you can use it before, zucchini, give it all away. Like, if you have a hot zucchini year, stop trying to figure out what to do with it. Just give it away on the side of the road. Again, that's a summer plant, though.
Yeah, we'll get into those when it's appropriate. Not to worry, everybody, because I don't agree with Batavia on that one. Of course I don't. That wouldn't be a great show if I agreed with you on everything. But, you know, and then you've got to talk about, as you get later into the season, and, you know, as of the airing of this show, you are going to start getting into bolt season, where things are going to bolt. And you've got to recognize when things are bolting, everybody. I see a lot of pictures of people thinking things are looking great, and I'm like, that thing is just about done. And we've got to recognize that. But there's still uses for that. You can harvest while it's bolting up to an extent. As long as you can manage the taste, you can harvest it all you want. But, you know, composting is an amazing way to manage that harvest as well. Let's say you missed the opportunity. You're like me and your broccoli. You planted a whole bed of broccoli and it all bolted. That's not my story this year yet, just for the record. But, you know, you can compost it as well. That's a really good way to give it back to your garden. And if you don't have a compost pile, start one. You know, all you got to do is throw stuff in a pile. It doesn't have to be. Don't get on social media and look at everybody with 15 bin systems and be like, all right, this one's a week old. This one's 2 weeks old. This one's a month. You know, don't do that. Just start a cold composting pile. Make a pile of your greens and the stuff that you cut and all that stuff.
That message is for everyone besides Batavia.
No, that's for Batavia.
Depending on the crop, moving right along, depending on the crop, it could be quite literally, you know, letting a plant finish its bolting, you know, finish the life cycle and either save those seeds or depending on your garden setup, let them self-sow. Before, I didn't tell you this when we were chatting, but before we sat down to do this episode, I was digging up some lettuce starts that popped up somewhere in the mulch that is my walkway.
Yeah.
You know, because my lettuce has been slow to start this year. So I put some in a seed sale. It'll grow over the next couple of weeks and then I'll plot it into the garden. Right. You know, so again, that's, I'm not recommending you do that bit of it. But the idea of mustards are great plants that I find that bolt pretty fast in my garden. Cilantro is another cool weather plant that, you know, once it bolts, I let it go. The flowers are beautiful. Pollinators love them, you know, and it's depending on how I manage it, it could be tucked away enough where it's not interrupting the rest of my garden.
Yeah, saving seeds is important. You know, make sure that it's not a hybrid, or if it is a hybrid, it's a stable hybrid. That's up to you to decide. But I think it's also a great opportunity, you know, especially like the first seed that I really successfully did for spring was collards. And I just kind of let it go. And then I figured out what was going on. I was like, oh, it's making seeds. Let's see where this goes. And then that kind of like, it started my interest in seed saving. Not that I do, I'm not crazy about seed saving, but I do save some seeds and I'm an opportunistic seed saver. So it's like, hey, this popped up. This is bolting. I'd like to have some more seeds of this. Perfect. You know, I'm doing that with my mustard right now. I don't have anything else going, but that's something that is definitely worth a shot. You know, you've got a whole, let's say you've got a whole row of kale. And your kale's bolting, which kale's really hard to bolt. Bad example, but whatever. And it starts to bolt, starts to flower. And you pull up all of them except for one. You know, you don't have to have the whole row go. And you can still have time to plant, stuff like that. You know, and it's interesting to watch the life cycle of the plant play out.
Yeah. And some of those are kind of game day decisions. So your plan may have something else coming into that space, you know, your garden plan after you figured your, you know, kale would be done. You can decide whether or not you want to let it complete its life cycle. That's the reason why I said, you know, it depends on the plant, because some things get so large where they, again, are a bit intrusive. Remember that video that with the Russian kale plant? That was basically the size. I had it in a 36 round inch bed, the fire pits that I grow in. And it took up the entire bed, you know. And it's like, either I decide I'm not going to plant anything in there for a while, or I decide I'm just going to pull the plant. So again, it's the, you know, I'm opportunistic as well when it comes to that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you've made your plan, and you've used a planter app. So I'm going to take a second and tell you guys about the planter app, because that's what we use to plan our gardens. There's a reason why we have them as a sponsor of the show. They got the drag and drop interface and it's all square foot. So we've got the whole square foot planned out, the whole bed, and then we can go through and you can alter that plan as needed and use the app to basically guide you through this and see when things can be planted. When is the later date you can plant, so you can factor in succession planting into this. So let's say you're taking out your kale and you're going to put tomatoes behind it. Well, you know, I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but you don't have to plant all of your tomatoes at once. So you can leave a couple kale plants in there, use the planter app to kind of guide yourself through that. And then in a couple weeks, when they are all done seeding and you've harvested the seeds, pull them up and put the tomatoes in. So, you know, that's another use for the planter app that we love so much. It's available on Google and Apple. You can use it on your phone, tablet, and your computer. If you use the link below, you will get a discount on all of the plans, even the lifetime plan. So definitely check that out. And I want to say a big thank you to the planter app, because this is the way that we organize our gardens for the year. And when you have to make those fly decisions, as Batavia put it, game day decisions. Never heard that one before, but it's cool. I don't do sports, everybody. I don't have to erase or throw out a piece of paper. I can just kind of amend it as needed. So definitely use that to your advantage. But saving seeds is a really big part of, and it goes along in one of the episodes we did about the evolution of a gardener. This is just kind of like the next evolution. Like, you will have a plant that you like the way it produces. You want more of the seeds. You have it already going to seed by accident. So take advantage of that and harvest that seed. And don't buy seeds for the next 5 years.
There's definitely, you know, let's hope that it was a strong producer, right? You don't want to save seeds from something that was a weakling over the season. I don't remember which episode we were talking about where I said, oh, I had mustards growing basically in my neighbor's yard from, you know, seeds that had, you know, self-seeded last year. They had already bolted. The plant was like not even the size of your hand. I just pulled it. I treated it as a weed and tossed it. Like, that thing was going to eventually produce flowers and then produce seeds, but I don't want seeds from that particular mustard plant.
Now, if you've got something like chickens or something like that, I'm sure, you know, you can give the scraps and the bolted plants and stuff to the chickens. So you can definitely take advantage of that. That's a good resource because it'll just give it back in compost via manure, save you on chicken feed. So I don't really want to hang out too long on that one because I feel like that's, if you have chickens, you already know that. But don't be afraid. Or if you know somebody with chickens, you can say, hey, you know, you don't have a compost pile. Boom, bada bing, give it to them. But one thing I do want to sit on for a minute, and I think gardeners as a whole, it's a hard transition to come into, but making it so you focus your meal plan around your harvest. So yes, there's going to be a time where you're eating 2-3 salads a day. I saw the hand hovering.
That was supposed to be a sentence ago, but I really wanted to get it in there.
So, I mean, you know, it's part of it, and it's part of the realization to, you know, one of the reasons why I like this exercise, because there is going to be a time, I'm looking at lettuce seedlings now, and I've got a bed of lettuce out there, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be eating a plethora of lettuce. I'm going to enjoy it while I have it. But at the same time, it's a good reminder when I'm like, damn, I got to eat another salad, that, like, you know what, Ben, don't grow so much salad next year, or lettuce, like, move on from that.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to kind of make adjustments as well, you know, when it comes to your future garden plan. There's also this bit of every single year I go through this for every single season. And young Ben, like, you know, he's giving it to us chapter and verse over on Sandy Bottom Homestead. The question is, could I have planted this thing earlier? So if I'm looking at kind of the growth of these plants now, you know, oh, could I have, right? Oh, would I have benefited from getting that into the garden a little bit earlier? And to be fair, you know, did I put something out too early? You know, so you need to be able to kind of take those notes. Add them to, if you're using the planter app, add them to your 2024 or your current year's plan. So, I mean, there's definitely not just a bunch of watching that's happening at this time of year.
And I mean, one thing too, I did check on the planter app. There is actually a button to add notes onto your plan. So you could easily click on that button and say, grew too much lettuce, cut lettuce by half, you know, and that way you can go back to that plan the next year and say, like, hey, what were my notes for my spring garden in 2024? Oh, okay. I grew too much lettuce. Let me grow less. Or I didn't like this. Like, for instance, kale. I hate curly kale. It is gross. I don't like it. I don't want to see it. I don't want it anywhere near me. Yucky. So I moved on to, what is it, Lacinato kales?
Lacinato.
Yeah, so I moved on to that, and I enjoy that. You know, I enjoy the texture of it. I enjoy it, but I had to go through that process and then narrow it down. I mean, I could not stomach that kale. It was terrible. It held the dirt and sand in there so bad, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm. I could see that, yeah. It's actually, I like all of the kales. But interestingly enough, the curly kale does better. Although I have it a lot of times, you know, later in the season in my garden, it does much better for me in the spring, in my spring garden, than it does later in the season. And in part, I mean, as it heats up, the weather impacts the growth of it, but also the pest pressure is much higher.
Yes.
Right. So now you get back to like, how easy is it to clean those kale leaves? You know, like, not so much, which then ties us back to, it may not, excuse me, be a complete loss if you're able to compost it, if you're able to, you know, give it to your, you know, garden and or homestead animals, right? You know, so again, just how are you able to continue to benefit from some of these? Everything won't be like, you know, this full, you know, enclosed, what is it, full loop system? What's that term?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're...
Everything won't be a loop.
Yeah.
but there are definitely ways that we want to be able to share and highlight to be able to get more out of the work that you've put into this.
Exactly. And I mean, also, I want to say this. Don't be afraid to leave a bed blank. Don't be afraid to harvest everything, because I know I've fallen into the trap. Like, well, I'm going to save it. I want it to last. I want, you know, I don't want to harvest all my broccoli right now. I want to leave it. And then next thing you know, you've got 8 heads of bolted broccoli and you're like, dang, I should have just harvested it and put it in the fridge and just basically gorged myself on broccoli. You know, that's kind of a big thing too, is don't be afraid to pull it all up and let it go. And also, don't be afraid to leave it in the ground. There's some stuff in this time of year that you can leave in the ground and let it act as your refrigerator. It's not going to go bad. You know, I'm doing that with my cabbages right now. I'm harvesting one a week. And as soon as those are up, I'll have another batch ready, hopefully. But working in that fashion, I'm not really worried about it going bad. So I can extend everything out a little bit and I can either consume it at my own rate, or I can have it to where it breaks, you know, my phone rang and just totally threw me off. I can have it to where I can harvest it or preserve it or whatever I want, you know. So you give yourself time to digest what to do with your food.
Yeah, I think that, so this is a different level of planning. This goes back to not just, you know, kind of your plan of what's going to go into the garden, but when is it coming out and how are you going to use it? I have been trying to become better at this, and I can see improvements, but there's still some work to be done. I tend to focus on singular crops when I'm harvesting, you know, so a salad will have like a bunch of lettuce, right? Instead of picking 2 leaves of lettuce, 2 leaves of chard, 2 leaves of kale, right? You know, and so I'm then able to enjoy a bit of each of these plants. That's something that I'm working. A lot of people, if you have different types of greens, you know, like your collards, your mustards, your, you know, turnips, you know, like a lot of people mix greens, you know, and so that's a really good way of, again, not just focusing on one plant, but being able to pull from multiple plants, you know, because a lot of these things, while some will stay in your garden, like cabbage, same as on my end, it'll stay in my garden for quite a while. There are other greens that you really want, or other vegetables you really want to get in and get out, you know. Beets are a good example of something that, you know, they could start to get icky if you leave them in the garden too long. You know, beet leaves, you know, some people don't care about eating beet leaves. If you're one that does, which they're, you know, chard is a part of the beet family, you know, so they're very similar. I've gone to farmers markets and the beets look good, but boy, do those leaves look like they've been through it. You know, so my primary goal is to harvest the beet itself. So, you know, keeping an eye on those things. And then again, just a little bit at a time. So that's continued to be my goal. when it comes to what I'm pulling out of the garden, how I'm using it. That's a lot of my intention with fresh eating, though, versus preserving.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, it's all trial and error when it comes to that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn. And it's important to give yourself some grace. You know, sometimes I feel like we don't talk about giving ourselves grace enough. You know, especially on my end, I feel like I beat myself up a lot over, you know, like that 1 year I went to YouTube and harvested 5 pounds of sweet potatoes I grew for 4 months, you know. It was really hard to do. And it's really hard, even in a non-public eye, to sit back and be like, dang, all that work and this is what I got. But that allowed me to go back to the drawing board and figure out what I did wrong and then correct that for the next year. And then continue to do so year after year. So, you know, giving yourself grace and understanding, too, when you go in to growing something, like, what part of this vegetable am I going to consume? For instance, I eat turnip roots, but I don't eat turnip greens. So I don't care about the greens. The only reason why I care about the greens is so I can grow the roots. You know, same with the beets. Well, I honestly don't care about either one, really, but, you know, I'm not going to eat the leaves, but I have a specific use for the root. And if I don't feel like using that root for that, then I'm not going to apply that to what I'm doing.
Yeah, I have, you know, I love a roasted anything. Roasted beets are great. I was gifted a can of pickled beets. So I'm waiting right until we get to spring, like right until the point of which we're like a week away, or we're a week into spring as this episode airs. But I'm going to crack that jar open and that's going to determine how many beets I direct. So I haven't had pickled beets in a long time. So it's like, do I love them?
No, you don't.
Sow more seeds, you know. I do want it before we get too far off of the vegetables. I think onions are such a good example of something planted, you know, in some cases winter for some of us, another case is spring, and you're harvesting them. They take a long time to grow, but keep in mind, you know, we've talked about this over and over. Onions are probably one of the most used crops that you can grow as a home gardener, you know.
I got to tell you a story about beets real quick.
Yeah. Oh, beets? Yeah, we're back to beets?
I can't let this one go. We go to see my in-laws, and you know how it is when you go out to eat with family, and it's like, where do you want to go? And back and forth. Anyways, we go to this restaurant, and we're like starving. And my wife's like, I'm going to try and eat healthy tonight. And I was like, okay. So she orders a beet salad and didn't understand that it was going to be a plate piled high with beets. And she got it, and it was like, I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, my God. And she's like looking at it, she's like, what do I do? And it was like, one piece of kale mixed into it. And I was like, I said, are you going to order something different? I was like, your parents are going to get mad. She's like, I'm just going to eat it. And she literally choked down every single bite of those beets throughout the whole meal. I felt so bad for her. Oh, it was awful. I was like, yeah. So every time we see a beet salad, I'm like, you're going to get a beet salad? She's like, oh, no.
They have rich color, so I mean, I'm sure it was pretty, and that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was, ugh, man, it was tough. But I mean, and that, you know, that's a good representation of like too much of something is bad, you know? She wanted a salad with a beet in it, not a plate full of beets.
But I do want to, so I'll come back to the onions, but along those lines, I do want you all, and many of you are already okay with this, be okay with the thing that you're just like, eh, that's not my jam, right? You know, or like everything that you grow that you struggle with doesn't have to be a challenge, right? Maybe you decide, I really didn't care that much about that curly kale. It didn't do well, and I'm not the biggest fan of it anyway. You know, move on to something else. That's okay. I absolutely have some vegetables that I chase, but there's some where I'm just like, you know, I can move on from pretty quickly. And that's gardener by gardener, right? You know, so decide what that looks like for you.
No, exactly. And I think it's a good exercise, too, because it's almost like going to the grocery store. you're just a little bit more invested. But I mean, there's certain vegetables you'll just walk right past in the grocery store and wouldn't even think twice about eating them. So do the same thing in your yard. And that's part of managing your harvest too, because you're not wasting anything. No time, energy, money, anything.
That's one of the challenges I feel like new gardeners face. And maybe, you know, gardeners that have been growing the same things over and over again. You know, your common comment is grow what you like. You know, grow what you eat. And a lot of us eat, you know, a couple of handfuls of different types of things. Right? We go to the grocery store, that's what we buy. And then when kind of the world is opened up, when you kind of look at what you can grow, sometimes the question is, well, you know, I mean, before I grew celery, I would eat celery probably in Thanksgiving dressing, maybe in some chicken salad once in a while, you know, but it wasn't something that was in my refrigerator. When I made gumbo, that's probably the only time I really buy it, you know, but you better believe I found all kinds of ways. Some of those soups that I mentioned, they have celery as a part of the base, you know. Depending on who you are, I remember I was in the grocery store. This must have been last year. And sometimes I overstep. I'm a chatter when it comes to the grocery store. So there was an older guy in there, and he had like 8 bunches of celery. And this was past any kind of your typical American holidays. And I was like, what are you making there? Are you still making some dressing? And he's like, no, I'm juicing it. And I'm like, you know, duh. You know, like, again, I was just teasing with him a little bit. But for those that are into that, there you have it. One more use of it.
Perfect. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to manage your harvest. Just try and think outside the box for that. And, you know, try some of these different things. And I really, you know, Batavia and I, our hopes for people are, one, people start more seeds, and two, people find the passion for preserving food. So I would definitely like try and look and see what's easy to preserve if you haven't, or something new you can preserve this year, and give it a shot, see what can happen. Mm-hmm. But we got to get on to our listener question of the day. And actually, this is I'm going to do two things today. So one, we've got a nice comment that I want to do, and then we're going to do a question, just because it feels like that kind of day. So our comment comes from Spotify. And says, Hunter says, you guys are fun to listen to. I grew up on a tobacco garden in Virginia and have since moved to a city in North Carolina and just started my backyard garden this year. Thanks for the first time. Thank you. Well, Hunter, you're more than welcome. And we're glad that you find us fun. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm fun.
The only time I don't think you're fun is when you get all the way through it, and then I get a chance to say, hey, Hunter. Yeah.
Dang, I always forget. I'm so bad. There you go, Hunter. You got it. I lost the next one, so I've got to find it. This one also comes off of Spotify, and it's from Jessica. And she says, where do you get your seeds for starting seeds indoors? What are your opinions on using seeds from veggies purchased at the grocery store? And is it a bad to use seeds from produce that probably has preservatives? Oh boy. So before I give Batavia
a 3-part question, Jessica. Hey, Jessica.
The first part's easy. Neither one of us are hooked to a seed company. If there was one person that sells seeds that we'd be hooked on, it would be Backyard Gardens. So you can check the link below. But anywhere where you want to get seeds, go ahead and get them. Other than, dare I say it, or should I just leave it alone?
Half of the show is yours. Well, a third if you count, you know, Leonard's
opinion don't count for nothing. I would buy from anywhere except for Baker's Creek. So there it is. Said it out loud. I know everybody just turned it off, but that's okay.
I have a different opinion, but I respect his.
So what's your opinion on using seeds from veggies purchased at the grocery store? Go.
I am team it. I am long oldie pepper is what I have some pepper seeds labeled as. And this is, I think, the fourth year, maybe third or fourth year. It has been, I bought some peppers, and it's nothing special about Aldi. It's just a bullhorn type pepper, multicolored. I chose the red ones, pull the seeds out, And I believe I'm still using those seeds that I saved. I may have saved the seeds when I planted them that next year. I can't remember now. But anywho, it produces the healthiest plants, the most beautiful peppers. They are true to form each year. I have watched all of my pepper seedlings pop up. They were the first ones to pop up this year. Everything was a little bit delayed because it was a little bit cooler than I, you know, those seeds would have liked. So that's an example. I don't know that every single thing that's in the grocery store will make good seed. But I definitely know that there are some things that do. So I'm all for giving it a try. I wouldn't bank my entire garden on it unless I had to.
Yeah.
Pick up on what I'm throwing down there.
So I've never done it. And I don't know why. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have. But my neighbor, she has done it. And she did her whole garden that way. She's like, I just eat it. And if I like it, I grow it. I'm like, okay, go for it, girl. And I don't think she does. I think that's how she does her garden every year. I haven't talked to her in a while. Mm-hmm. But she definitely has done that. And I know people have done that with like citrus trees and stuff like that. They get them started. Mm-hmm. Apples and whatnot. So I don't have a problem with it. You know, I think you've just got to be realistic about what can grow in your area and what the timeline is. But, I mean, the only issue I would see is that vegetable did not grow to its peak ripeness. Therefore the seeds may not be as viable, but again, you've already consumed it and you were going to buy it anyways. So why not give it a shot?
Yeah. And I think that, that when I say, you know, I wouldn't plant my entire garden, it's around expectations, right? You know, so I think generally speaking, we have more confidence when we purchase seeds from reputable seed sellers that it's going to produce, you know, and more often than not, it's going to produce the thing that that package says it's supposed to produce. I think that I got a good batch of those long Aldi peppers.
Oh, wait, I take that back. My garlic is grocery store garlic. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah, of course. And have you done, I've done grocery store garlic. I've done used grocery store potatoes as seed potatoes.
I've never done that.
You know, I've clearly done peppers. I don't think I've ever done melons that way.
I've done a melon. I've done one melon. Mm-hmm. Let me say this about the garlic. I'm on my third year growing it from the original $5 purchase, and it's amazing. The first year was shaky. The second year was amazing. And it looks, I was just out there before the show looking at it, and it looks like this year is going to be pretty damn good too. I was confident enough in it to where I was giving it to some of my friends that were growing garlic as well. So I would not do that if I did not think that it would be productive. So yeah, I have done that. And as far as using seeds from produce that has preservatives on it, I'm going to let Batavia go so I can temper my comment on that.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I don't have any qualms about it. You know, I think that every now and again, I'm reminded about the freshness of a thing that I preserve. When I open it up, it's like, oh, the shelf life on this after it was opened, it was 2 weeks. Oh, it doesn't have any preservatives. You know, it's that reminder. I think you use what you have. Yeah, I think you use the good, better, best method. You know, do you have easy access to the thing that is actually, you know, raised for the purpose of seed? Then use that. You know, if you have something that had preservatives in it and now you want to save that, I mean, do you, you know? So it's along the same lines in my mind as, you know, some of the starts that I still buy. There's no way those starts are that beautiful without some level of pesticide, I believe, right? There's some plants that are sold that are labeled organic, but a lot of them are not. And I look at it as once you get into my home, once I've adopted you as a seedling, it's my job to do what I want to do with it and how I, you know, bring up my garden. So I could be biased because of that perspective.
Yeah.
You got enough time there?
Yeah. My question is, I'm actually going to answer the question with a question. If you're going to eat it with preservatives, why wouldn't you grow it with preservatives already on it? Mm-hmm. I mean, so give it a moment of silence, let it soak in, And I want to use this as a moment because honestly, I think it's something worth saying out loud. Is a lot of times when people grow food, I think we overanalyze the food that we're buying and just have to remember, like, you know, you're concerned about the preservatives, and I appreciate that, but we also have to think, like, the other foods that we're eating have that stuff on it. So unless you are totally eliminating it from everywhere else, like, the preservatives aren't going to get passed down from generation to generation.
That's the key.
Preservatives are on the outside of it after it was harvested. You've consumed it at this point, so it's done its damage, and now you have basically a fresh seed that has it. So I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. I don't know a lot about what preservatives do to our body, clearly, because I've been eating them for my entire life. That and genetically modified foods, I mean, you can't get away from it. So there is that whole discussion. But yeah, I think that, you know, I don't see a problem with it. I think it's good to do. And if you want to save the seed from the grocery store, go for it, man. Do your best, you know, and if you're concerned about it and you want to grow a pepper, buy a pepper seeds. Grow pepper seeds from the store, see which one does better, and then save whatever seeds you want, if you even want to do that. And peppers, you should be saving seeds from peppers just because you got to throw them in the trash anyways when you eat them. You know, it's just that easy. Yeah, you literally don't have to do anything else. So there is that aspect of it. But that's a good question. That was, you know, it's a very good question as far as growing from seed.
I think the things that people think about sometimes people don't want to ask. I think there's a lot of gardener pressure around some of these topics, you know. And I think that, I mean, I'm stopping short of saying sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, because growing food is a serious thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, this is a important thing that we're doing. But I also always want to balance what the rest of my life looks like.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And I think I'm okay with the I'm too serious, taking yourself too serious part. I'm okay with that comment. If you want to gear it towards me sometimes, I don't want to project that on anybody else. But I think that is something you need to think about too, is like, I mean, is it that big of a deal? And I just don't know if it's all there. So, yeah. But that was from Spotify. We have, and I don't know if we've really put it out there enough, but there is an email address solely for the questions of the day, because it'll be easier for us to find. And if you'd like to use that, that is bygquestion@gmail.com. And you can send your questions in there and we will answer them on the air. And we will continue to get them from other places. So you can join us on Backyard Gardens Community Garden Facebook group. There's a lot of people in there saying some good stuff and doing some cool things. You can become a subscriber and help support the show. Buy some seeds and check out the Planter app. And remember, everybody, we're going to continue to learn to grow and grow for change.
See ya.
Now you know why people feel like celebrating at harvest time.
All over the world, people have feasting and good times when the crops have been gathered in.
Thanks for checking out the show. If you like what we're doing and you'd like to support us, you can become a patron at patreon.com/backyardgardens, or you can be an Apple subscriber. And in both of those, you'll get an extra episode every month. You can also make a one-time PayPal donation with the link below. And you can get all kinds of gardening gear like t-shirts and mugs and cups from the link below at Teespring. And we have an Amazon store which has all the products that we use and recommend in our gardens, and it helps support our show. And we also add to this list periodically, so be sure to check it out periodically to see if there's anything that you need for your garden. Everything that you do, including a like and a subscribe and even a review, will help us learn to grow and grow for change.
See ya.